Halfway home on a Monday, Ben and Woods, 97.3 The Fan. Appreciate you being here very, very much, whether you're listening in your car, on the Odyssey app, watching on YouTube. You can see the reactions that we give, good, bad, ugly, mostly. If you're watching on YouTube, you can just click like, subscribe to the channel as well. It doesn't cost you a nickel to do it. Just subscribe. I want to get our subscription followers up. I don't know why. I just would like more.
You had a number in mind. You wanted 10,000
yeah,
at the
really,
end of the year.
Not really close.
At like 5,500.
Yeah, we need way more. Yeah, you get off your ass. Go subscribe to Ben and Woods on YouTube. Very simple. Just click subscribe. That's it.
Have it delivered right to your mailbox every day.
Every day.
Thrown out right onto your driveway.
Boom.
As the Ben and Woods delivery boy.
That's exactly right.
Rides his bicycle around the neighborhood.
Yeah.
That's your subscription.
That's what we need. Want to get those numbers up. I don't really know why. I just want them higher. It's weird. It's a weird place to live. I'm Woodsy. That's Paul Rindo, the executive producer. Ben Higgins is here. National Bay Day. You are my bay.
Bay, not like Mission Bay.
Correct, Bay.
Bay with an E at the end.
Like Heart Bay, like this. My Bay. It's a terrible, that was a terrible addition to the lexicon of our country, the word Bay, in my opinion. You had something here you wanted to talk
was babe
about.
Babe just too long?
Yeah, it was Babe too long. Babe's great.
It was,
love Babe. Babe!
Babe, hey Babe.
Babe.
Now we take the B out.
It's stupid.
And it's just Bay.
People really,
what do people do with all that extra time they're saving?
All those extra vowels. Where do they go? Stupid. Actually, it wasn't a vowel. It's a consonant.
You took out a consonant.
Took out a consonant.
Usually people are taking vowels out of things.
Yeah.
But they took a consonant out. No, I wanted to. So on Friday, I went down to Goat Hill, was doing some stuff for the Ben and Woods Open, which is coming up next Wednesday.
By doing some stuff, do you mean playing golf?
No, I did end up playing golf. But I know, I put up some flyers just to make sure everyone who was there could sign up and have an opportunity.
Ben would have been a great sales guy.
The best.
I put up some flyers. Okay. I discussed some things with Jay, who works at the Goat, uh-huh. about just the setup for Wednesday. And then I did end up playing golf. I actually played.
While I'm here, I'll just go ahead.
Played with Matt Janella, who is actually going to play with another buddy of his, but he was late, and I filled in the match that we were playing on Friday. And his buddy came around the sixth hole and joined us. And then on the ninth hole, which is going to be Ben's glory hole at the Ben and Woods Open.
Indeed.
His buddy, Peter, hit a perfect shot that spun back into the hole for a hole-in-one.
Glory hole.
And I've only seen about four live in my life, including my one that I had a couple of years ago. But the unique part of this was that, you know, Matt, he has his Fire Pit Collective, and they were getting ready for their big bonfire tournament. So he was documenting everything. He had one of his camera guys, like, shooting the entire round. So he had the actual footage, not of the ball going in the hole, but all of us, the shot being hit, and then all of us reacting on the tee.
Saw it.
For the hole in one, and then I saw it as well. He posted the video later on social media, and I can't alibi this. I am very awkward. I'm just very awkward.
The high five. I actually trademarked it on Twitter. I saw it. You said, "Hey, see if you can spot me in this video.
I make a cameo in this video.
See if you can spot me." And I said, "The very awkward Ben Higgins high five trademark next to it." Paulie, you've seen it. You've seen the awkward high five.
What am I doing wrong?
I honestly thought about it a lot this weekend.
I need some help here.
I thought about it a lot.
I put a lot of thought into it after I saw the video of the high five. As awkward as it looks. And
did you put it up on the thing?
I'm about to.
Is the problem that I'm too tall and I have to reach down to high five people?
Benny,
and
that would mean NBA stars don't know how to do high fives.
Well, but
they do.
They're high fiving other people who are very tall.
I'm tall.
Paulie's tall. He knows how to do a high five.
Can I high five Paulie, maybe? Would that help if I was... It's so awkward looking, and I don't know what I'm doing wrong.
It is. It's almost excruciating to watch when you do it, which is why I said the very awkward Ben Higgins high five trademark. I don't know what it is. There's something you do with your head that bothers me.
Head issue.
Yes, it's like a head issue. You see what I mean? You need to watch it. Have you seen it, Paulie?
I've seen it.
You've seen it.
Yeah. You sent it over. Somebody sent it over.
Yeah, it was on Twitter.
Yeah, Maddie posted all the video of the hole in one, and if you're on our YouTube stream, you're seeing lefty Peter making a shot. And then there I am in the background.
I feel like you're doing too much.
I'm trying too hard. I overthink it.
Yes. It's almost like You're not used to the pure emotion.
A lot of celebrating.
Some celebrating. Here we go. Here it comes. And he's going to, he's got the hand up. He's doing something weird.
Right. I'm looking at your posture here.
So he's
your hand's too far out in front.
Yeah, it's way too far in front.
I need to be back more.
Or up and up. Oh my God, the what is that?
I don't.
You noticed it though. You know it's awkward.
Oh yeah.
Oh, look at that.
It's totally awkward.
What are you doing?
I don't know, man.
It's totally
uncomfortable.
Wrong.
It's uncomfortable. It's uncomfortable.
I'm not going to defend it because it doesn't. I don't look natural.
No.
Relaxed.
No.
Or cool.
No. Not at all.
At all.
The follow through. Like the 180 after he does.
What is happening?
He's like, you know those things that you stand in that circle around you and you're like, like at weddings and stuff? That's what he looks like. He does like the hit and like the 180 around. It's, don't ever change though.
Do we need practice sessions? I just don't.
We would lose. If it would be weird.
Really says patty cakes.
Yeah.
It's like
it would be really weird if all of a sudden
I'm pushing too much as opposed to just swinging.
Yes, it'd be really weird.
I'd push
if you got cool all of a sudden and were like really good at high fives. It would be unsettling.
So, the moral of the story is though this is the actual tee box where we will be doing Ben's Glory Hole,
yes.
Which is your opportunity to make a little donation.
One of those high fives.
And if you can beat my shot, not only will you win a box of Chrome Tours from Callaway,
you
will also get a high five from me at Ben's Glory Hole for your triumph. And if you get a hole in one, everyone will go nuts because it's like an amphitheater. It's, mm-hmm. it's almost like a stadium hole.
It's awesome.
On number 9, they got the bonfire, the fire pit at the top. With there's seating, there's benches. So tier ones will probably be sitting there during the day, just enjoying the action and watching everybody come through and take their shot at the hole in one, the one where Peter got one on Friday afternoon.
I saw an idea on Twitter. I wanted to run by you guys and by the tier ones. They were playing a scramble somewhere. Don't know where it was, but somebody tagged me in it. What do you think about a heckle hole?
Like someone heckles afterwards or during the shot?
During
or?
your tee shot. What's the easiest hole out there? Maybe the glory hole, but where people are just heckling you the whole time. They actually had this person in like a giant mask and they had to swing and they were heckling them the whole time. I love the idea of a heckle hole.
18's pretty flat right there at the end.
Yeah, but then you'd have to stand at the tee box.
10's a good tee
box.
How
about one?
10's the easy shot. It's just downhill.
Yeah, 10's downhill. That's the
first shot. You just, I mean, you can do anything. You hit a ground ball on 10, it goes 150, 200 yards and you just chip it onto the green.
That's right.
Par 4. So it's not a bad spot.
I love the idea of the heckle hole. At the Benton Woods Open.
Do we need to hire hecklers?
No, we can do it. I can do it. Paulie can do it. Hannah would be a great heckler.
Oh,
she heckles me all the time. So we'll just heckle people. Robert sent it to me. Mailman Rob sent it to me. It's brilliant, and I think it'd be a lot of fun. Again, it's not a stuffy place. It's not a stuffy tournament. It's going to be in the name of fun and charity. And we, by the way...
Well, I mean, I am there, so there will be a certain amount of stuffiness just from my presence.
Correct.
But other than that, it should be pretty casual.
It's going to be a lot of fun, and we are what?
9 days.
Nine days.
Oh,
next Wednesday.
God.
Next Wednesday, we are off that day.
Yep.
So we will be doing two shotguns. You've got the morning 8 a.m. and the afternoon 1 p.m. There's only a couple of foursomes left in the morning. There's still about 4 or 5 left in the afternoon. Please sign up. We would love to see you there. We've got food set up from the Goat. They've got Burgeon Beer. We've got Maestro Dobel Tequila is going to be out there. We've got Better Buzz Coffee is going to be there in the morning. Woods is going to get donuts for everybody from VG's. Mm-hmm. So it should be plenty of fun. And then the Callaway prizes and giveaways are going to be spectacular. So really, we would love to see you out at Goat Hill Park next Wednesday 18th for the third annual-ish Benton Woods Chrome Tour, Benton Woods Open.
But we do need to shut down ticket sales. Friday will be the last day that you can purchase foursomes or twosomes or singles. Friday will be the cutoff. So don't come to me on Saturday. Woods, you want to get in. You're done. Friday.
Got to send in the final list so they can assign carts and holes and everything.
It has been decreed. Friday will be the last day that you can purchase. So get on it. Get on it today. Paulie will post the link, and it's all over our social media at Ben and Woods. Everywhere that you consume us, you will find it. And if you can't find it, DM me. I'll get it to you.
Don't miss an opportunity to get an awkward high five from yours truly.
And see your glory hole.
And maybe get heckled.
Yeah. I like that idea. Yeah. I like it too. I think it'd be a lot of fun. So no, looking forward to that. We got a lot of good stuff for you guys, man. The raffle prizes that are coming together are incredible. I'm talking like chance to come in and co-host and stuff, and like a lot of good prizes, man. A lot of good prizes, suites, Padres tickets, pretty elite prizes. So join us. We'd love to party with you.
Yeah, and those anyone can win those, even if you are not playing in the tournament. You can stop by and buy raffle tickets day of. If you're in the area, even if you're not a golfer, please stop by. Enter to win some of the fantastic prizes in the raffle, and you can be there for the drawing or write your name and phone number on. We will have a winner for you on tons of great prizes next week.
And the trophies are awesome. You can drink out of them.
Trophy should really. Is better off being consumable.
Correct.
Like you can drink, out of it.
Something
cup
out of it.
Yeah. Of some sort.
Yeah. The cup. The Ben and Woods cup.
Yeah, the ones where it's just like the golfer, with the club.
It's fine. We've had that before, but this is better. You're going to be able to drink out of it. It's great. Take Ubers, too, please.
It's probably smart.
Yeah. No drinking and driving at our tourney.
You can just spend the night there if you want.
Spend the night there.
They may actually frown on that.
Probably.
Well, Oceanside, fine. At the GOAT, probably not.
Correct.
All right, coming up this second half of Ben and Woods, we got Sammy Levitt, in-season Sammy, at the bottom of the hour. And looking forward to our conversation. 9 a.m. we'll be joined by the manager of tonight's opponent, the Oakland A's. Mark Kotze is going to join the program, former Padres center fielder. Always enjoyed watching Mark play when he was a member of the San Diego Padres. Good player and getting good reviews as the manager of a team that's obviously, not being set up to win right now.
They were set up to fail almost, man. And he's got them playing some much better baseball than I think anybody thought they would. And he gets a lot of credit for that.
He should. He should. He's got a roster that's largely anonymous players. They're not putting any investment into big contracts right now. We'll see if they do when they move to Las Vegas. But they're having to do it on a shoestring budget with very poor facilities at a stadium they're getting ready to, abandon. And still, they are giving trouble to a lot of teams this season. They're not going to make the playoffs, but they are, they're a handful, and the Padres will experience that over the next 3 days when the A's are in town.
I'm not looking forward to seeing them. I mean, I'm really not. Every team makes me nervous right now because of the Padres' up and down season, but holy cow, man, there are no pushovers, as we've learned all too well this year with the Rockies and the Angels. So, got to handle business this week, man.
Let's take a quick timeout. If you want to talk about some of the other things that happened in baseball over the weekend, had a London series as part of the activity in Major League Baseball. We can get to some of that. And then in-season Sammy will discuss what happened at Petco Park over the weekend when he joins us at the bottom of the hour. It's all coming up with Bennett Woods. We'll be back after a check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan. Tune in every Thursday at 10 a.m. for 97.3 The Fan's commercial-free Padres Roundtable featuring Bennett Woods, Annie and Elston, and Gwen and Chris, presented by San Diego Roundtable Pizza. For takeout or delivery, go to roundtablepizza.com. Roundtable, the last honest pizza. We did a little high-five practice during the break. Some diagnosis of my issue. I go up too quickly.
Way too quickly.
Waiting for it. I need to
just hold your hand there.
I push
and
too
pushes
much
out, and then he pushes it too much. You just keep it loose, and then boom.
I do feel like
you like giving him a target or something.
My hand still hurts though.
Yeah,
does yours hurt? Or I have sensitive palms, and that's part of the issue. When it comes to, I'm not enthusiastic about high fives.
Lucky you, by the way.
Do you guys remember, wasn't there like a trick, like if you look at the person's elbow, like you get the guaranteed high five every time?
I've never
look
needed
at their elbow.
I've never needed a tip.
I definitely do.
Ben does.
A high five.
I need some help. I need some practice. Come high five me at the Ben & Woods Open
just
next week.
Keep it low and then go up for it and let the game come to you a little bit. You're too anxious.
I will say that the one blessing of COVID was the lack of touching that was involved.
Yeah.
I didn't have to worry about hugs or handshakes or high fives or anything. I could just remain 6 feet away from people at all times.
Sex is Sensitive Palms, Ben Higgins. Great album. 10 out of 10. You are lucky. Mine are a bit calloused.
Somehow, even though the Padres continue to spin their wheels, they are four games under 500 over the last, week and a half. They have yet to really lose ground to any of the teams that are chasing them. They remain in the second wild card spot. It is a huge logjam behind them, but no one behind them has really been able to take advantage of the Padres' struggles. In fact, I think they've gained ground on some of the teams. You mentioned the Reds had gotten hot and picked up a few games to close in. They and the Cubs split a four-game series, so the Padres staying ahead of both of those teams while they split a four-game series with the Arizona Diamondbacks. The Cardinals were only able to split four at home against the Colorado Rockies, so they couldn't gain any ground. The Mets, they split their two-game London series with the Phillies. Nearly lost both of them, but then pulled out the win yesterday on an incredible finish.
Incredible.
They rallied in the top of the ninth, and then, if you didn't see this, in the bottom of the ninth, in London, the Phillies load the bases with one out. They're down one, and they're, you know, Mets are trying to get out of a jam. Obviously, they don't have their closer, Edwin Diaz. And the ball is just a broken bat nubber in front of the plate.
It is. Former, 6 inches in front of the plate.
But it's enough where the former Padres catcher, Luis Torrens, he's behind the plate. He has to jump out, take two steps in front of the plate to pick it up, then has the presence of mind to spin back to the plate, touch home plate for the force, and then make the throw just in time to first to complete the double play to end the game.
And I think Pete had to, like, dig it, too. Dig it out at first. It was a really low throw.
It had the runner, so you had to avoid him. It was it's the first time in baseball history a game ended on a 2-3 double play.
I mean,
I can't ever remember actually seeing a 2-3 double play where it's like, I've seen 1-2-3.
1-2-3, sure.
You know, flip it to the catcher, then over to first.
Yep.
But the catcher goes out,
has to
run back, and then still has time to throw to first. Is something that I can't remember actually seeing, but that's how that game ended in London yesterday.
All those baseball games. And, you know, again, every time you tune in, you can see something you've never seen before. I saw that. And by the way, make sure you realize, when Castellanos swung at the ball, shattered his bat. There's pieces of bat going everywhere, and the ball nubs out 6 inches in front of the plate. It was the most wheels-off play I've ever seen, and they did. They got it, and I think, you know, for the Mets to split a series with the Phillies, that's actually pretty good work.
The Giants did pick up a half a game. They took two out of three from Bruce Bochy and the Rangers. Rangers did salvage the series finale yesterday. And the White Sox ended their 14-game skid on Friday. They actually
won. Steve Stone was right.
Back-to-back games Friday and Saturday. We had Steve Stone's audio predicting a win.
And that was Garrett,
on Friday.
Garrett Crochet
and
in that game.
And they did. They did lose on Sunday to end up splitting that series. And, of course, we talked a little bit earlier about Sunday Night Baseball last night. The Dodgers getting the go-ahead three-run home run by Trent Grisham in the sixth. Aaron Judge hit his 24th. And they avoided getting swept by the L.A. Dodgers at home. There were a lot of Dodgers fans.
Tons.
At that series at Yankee Stadium. I don't know if they traveled
they
or if they're just some holdovers from the Brooklyn Dodgers days who never gave up on the Dodgers and stayed on the East Coast. But there was a lot of them. And a couple of issues. And I saw some, like, a Dodger hat being burned and stuff. And, you know, some friction between Yankees and Dodgers fans in the Bronx.
Interesting. It was that group that travels.
Oh, the ones that marched through the streets of San Diego as well.
Yeah, it's not a parade. It's a march. So they went marching through the Bronx. And, yeah, I mean, look, they went up there. They took two or three from one of the best teams in baseball and probably felt pretty good, again, about getting that sweep last night with Tyler Glass now on the bunch, but on the bump. But, you know, Trent Grisham coming through and hitting a big bomb. Managed to salvage a game, and yeah, it was an interesting game. And Mookie, it came down to, you know, Mookie Betts up at the dish with two guys on, could have given them the lead, and he K'd, and that was that. But, you know, the funny thing is we like to needle the Dodgers. This should be better than what they are, period. They, for what they spent in the offseason, they should be better than what they are right now, even though they're still very, very good. The thing that's scary is that you need to remember, they still have unlimited resources to go out and get literally anybody that they want. They have the prospect capital to do so. And you have to think that they're starting to be at least some tiny beads of sweat about Mookie. We cannot keep Mookie at shortstop. We can't, not sweat, but you know what I'm saying? Like,
no one's given them cause. If the Padres, Giants, or Diamondbacks have gotten off to a good start.
Benny, I'm talking about, they've never really been worried about the regular season, right? So I don't think that I don't think they're looking in their rear view at all. I think what
they're eight games up. They shouldn't be.
Right. You know what they're looking at? They're looking what happens in 4 months from now. That's what they're looking at. And they look at their team and they go, we can't keep this experiment up, you know, rotating middle infielders. Mookie plays short sometimes. Vargas plays whatever. Like, they're going to go out and improve their team. They're going to go get help in their bullpen. They are going to go get whatever they need. So, while it's all fun and games now.
Is that the best strategy? I mean,
for them?
Well, the Padres always go out and get help, and it doesn't ever seem to help. Is it better to stick with the guys you already have? Just let them continue to grow together, and eventually by the end of the season, you've got your complete team that you're hoping for.
I think the pressure up there to have to win one.
But if you're going to win your division, and they are, doesn't it make more sense to stay with consistency rather
than... When's the last time they were challenged in their division? Like, they're never really worried about... they want to get help that's going to help them.
What I'm saying is they have the luxury that they don't have to make a panic move.
Right.
They can stick with their program and be patient with it. They can be patient with Mookie in the infield. They don't have to panic because no one is challenging them. They can work this out all season long and try to create the best version of themselves for October, as opposed to trying to, you know, wedge new pieces in at the trade deadline.
I don't know, man. I look at it and go... It's desperation time. Even though they're 8 games up, they're going to be desperate come October. I think that's what's been their Achilles heel the last few years.
All right, let's take a time out. When we come back, it'll be in-season Sammy time. We missed
Love
him,
Sammy.
Didn't we? We haven't talked to Sam in a couple of weeks.
Did you have him on last week when I was gone?
Maybe we did.
Maybe.
I don't remember. And then it was the week before we may have missed Sammy. But we will have in-season Sammy Levitt joining us to talk about the weekend that was... At Petco Park, next on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. Oh, we saw a little bit of everything from the San Diego Padres over the weekend as they split 4 games with the Arizona Diamondbacks, continuing to tread water. At least the 5-game losing streak came to an end. Sammy Levitt was there for all of it. He's going to join us in season Sammy right after a check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan. So, actually, one of my favorite moments of the weekend. On Saturday, I was hanging out with Shelley and Lucadia, and we were watching the game, and Jake Cronenworth hit his home run, and one of the bartenders said, "Oh, I heard on Sam Levitt's pregame show, he had a kid who came up to the Western Metal Supply Company building and said, Jake is going to hit a home run during this game." And he remembered it, and he told me, and I hadn't heard it. But then I saw Sammy posted it later on social media, and he was absolutely correct. And Sam Levitt joins us right now here on Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan. Can you get that kid to come back and make more predictions, Sam?
Yeah, 11-year-old Red. I've got to get him to come back every night and make a prediction because he's on a hot streak now. But it was a lot of fun. You know, I'm lucky up there inside the Western Metal Building. Obviously, I get a chance to talk to a lot of fans, meet a lot of fans, and I've had kids come up, you know, with their parents over the course of the last few years. And every once in a while, I will ask them if they want to come on air, pull out a headset, and we have a little fun and throw them on for a few seconds. So that was fun. So, yes, definitely part of Saturday's win. Part of that is the credit of 11-year-old Rhett with the prediction. Very nice job by him.
I did also hear Sammy go on a long tangent, I believe, during one of the post-game shows, and maybe Woods can chime in here. But he started talking about the game which you you push the discs down the sandy wooden table and
shuffleboard.
But Sammy said, "No, I grew up playing shuffleboard. It's the game you play
with
on concrete with a stick, and you push like a hockey puck down a long, you know, long runway."
Is the sandy game not called shuffleboard?
Are they both called shuffleboard? Did we ever get any clarity on
Sammy,
that, Sammy?
I think Sammy might be right here.
Yeah, I think from my brief research, they are both called shuffleboard.
Oh, okay.
Now maybe the game that's inside the loft and inside a lot of bars is called hand shuffleboard, was my final conclusion. But I grew up, you know, going to some of these hotels in the Catskills in New York with my grandparents, and they would have.
Please tell me you went to a comedy show.
Sammy, we're watching Chucky Green.
Oh, yes. We would go to the late night comedy show.
Oh my
and,
God, what a nightmare!
Yes, the shuffleboard. So I grew up where that was shuffleboard. So I did not. Admittedly, I don't think I saw the hand shuffleboard game. I think until maybe I was in Texas. Maybe that's the first time I saw it. But I don't. You know, it was like my greatest hits on the pregame show this weekend. I had kids on. I was talking about shuffleboard, you know, anytime I have to try to kill a few minutes, you never know what I might get into. So,
oh, we can relate.
But, yeah, they do have those hand shuffleboard games or tables, I should say, inside the loft at the Western Metal Building. So another activity to enjoy at Petco Park.
I have never met a human being that has been to the Catskills until now. He's my very first person that's been. I just thought it was like a mythical place. I don't even know where it is.
No.
Upstate New York?
It's like a mountain range, right?
Right, right. And they have these, you know, these hotels that people go to. And, yeah, I would go with my grandparents and, you know, yeah, we'd go to the comedy show. We'd have the dinners. They'd have the arcades. Yeah, we'd have, like, there'd be, like, little, you know, like, dance parties with bands. Like, it was, and they did have the very old school shuffleboard and bocce ball courts, and yeah, I was all over that.
Petey wants to know, did you have a summer fling with a girl named Baby?
Yeah, that's where that took place. Wow, the Catskills. That's where,
I was too young.
Tyson trained
there. I was pretty young back in those days, but I did have a good time. I was shuffleboarding for sure.
That's phenomenal, phenomenal. Well, Sammy, the somebody had made the point earlier, the white knuckling San Diego Padres, and I don't think, you know, game to game, you didn't have to white knuckle much on Friday and Saturday, and yesterday you really didn't have to white knuckle much. But when it comes to series, you know, every time a new series starts, you just don't know which San Diego Padres team is going to show up, you know, and with the Oakland A's coming into town. You know, look, if you looked on paper, you would say, what are we white-knuckling? I'm going to lean back and enjoy a three-game sweep. But
Dylan Cease, we're facing a righty tonight.
Right, like,
I mean,
it's a no-brainer. But a lot of lefty starters coming in, too. Has there been any inkling that the Padres are going to break out of this inability to hit left-handed pitching at all?
I mean, there really hasn't, right? I mean, it's kind of the great mystery. I think that's a question for everybody right now, why it's been so difficult against left-handers, and I don't think there's a great answer for it. Now, maybe part of that solution is the way Fernando's hitting right now. Like, I'll be fascinated over the next few days with how locked in he's been to see if he continues that against left-handers, right? Because he is, I mean, to me right now, in my now two seasons, you know, covering Fernando, because remember, I didn't see him at all in 22 and then, you know, saw him for the first time in this job, you know, when he came back in 23. I mean, to me, he is as locked in certainly as I've seen him, right? And it's shades of 2021 Fernando. So maybe that's part of the solution, having somebody like Fernando rip up lefties. But look, you know, Ha-Sung Kim swung it better. I mean, maybe part of it is just guys swinging the bat better in general, and that'll lead to better results against the left-handers. But, you know, look, the Padres, and it's no secret to anybody, I'm not breaking any news, they are going to have to figure out the lefty thing. I mean, they just have to, because it's been so quiet and because they have right-handed hitters that should do more damage against those guys. So when you talk about the priorities moving forward, there are a lot of them, but I think, you know, breaking whatever's been going on against left-handers, to me, that's right at the top of the list. So, yes, it should be, you know, when they face some lefties here coming up, a fascinating handful of games, because they got to figure it out.
Sammy, when Joe Musgrove and Yu Darvish went on the injured list a little over a week ago, I think my first thought was, uh-oh. Now they're going to, I mean, two of the starts now are dicey, and if any of the number one, two, or three guys has a bad start, all of a sudden that's like 60% of your rotation that you can't count on anymore. And improbably, the Padres strung together a series of really good starting pitching performances until yesterday with Adam Mazur. And now I'm wondering, in your opinion, how urgent is it that the Padres go out and maybe try to add a starting pitcher, if there even is one? We talked about Garrett Crochet last week. Is one available on the trade market right now?
I personally don't feel like it's super urgent, if we're assuming that Yu Darvish is going to come back here pretty soon and rejoin this rotation, which, you know, he's been throwing, and it sounds, you know, the whole time with his injury, it has not sounded like anything overly serious. As long as we're under that assumption, I don't feel that it's so urgent. I mean, look at what the rotation would be with Darvish in it, right? Let's assume Mazur is the guy that's optioned back to AAA. So your rotation is Darvish, Cease, King, Waldron, who's been terrific, and Randy Vasquez, who, look, I think Randy's been really solid these last three opportunities he's had in the major leagues. I talked to him the other day. We'll play the interview before he start on Tuesday, but I think he is really developing, and I'm sort of fascinated with Vasquez as he gets, you know, maybe more consistent opportunities to start at this level, but what he continues to do and what he continues to show. So, you know, look, I think there are a couple of facets when you talk about guys like Garrett Crochet, and if they want to target a starting pitcher, would it hurt them? Absolutely not. To me right now in you know, early to mid-June, I'd like to see, okay, when Darvish comes back, can he get rolling again? Can Cease, you know, kind of get rolling again? It's been, you know, a lot more up and down for him the last handful of starts. Michael King, for the most part, has been good as of late. You know, he had one kind of rougher start in there, but has been good. Waldron, my goodness, has been just a terrific story. And I think Vasquez has been pretty good. So, to me, I think for a little bit here, as long as those guys perform well, you can ride with those five for a little bit. I personally don't see the urgency right now in trading a bunch of prospects and further depleting your farm to go get a guy like Crochet, who, you know, has already thrown more innings than he's ever thrown. And,
shocking.
And I just, to me, and I guess this is more just a wider statement on the Padres system and a trade for a guy like Crochet, I, at this moment, I'm not a huge fan of it. I'd like to see them, after making the Cease and Arise trades, try to keep some of these guys. And you know, look, it's a team that's sitting a game below 500 today, right? I mean, is there a case for, hey, they've got to show you a little bit more before you go, you know, empty more of the farm and get another arm? But I think when Darvish is back, if you can get, you know, what Vasquez has done the last three starts, I think this starting pitching should really be okay. I do believe that.
Yeah, you know, and if they're not, it's kind of a bummer because, you know, you saw over the weekend in two blowout games, well, actually, let's call it three blowout games, right, over the weekend. None of them were really particularly close. The guys that they used to clean up, you know, the wins and even the loss, not your high-leverage guys. You don't really need those guys. No. So we're seeing Kolek and Matsui get some mop-up opportunities. Problem is, Sammy, is when we've also Kolek's game a week ago really put this team into a tailspin for about a week with Suarez having to be used and all that. We all know the repercussions of it, but man, it's got to be tough for Schilt to know who he can pick up the phone and call down in the bullpen if tonight's game, for example, is a tight one. I know Robert Suarez hasn't pitched in 8 days, 9 days?
Last Saturday.
Last Saturday. Right. So obviously he's going to get, you know, the last opportunity. But man, who do you ring down there in the bullpen right now, other than maybe Jeremiah Estrada and Robert Suarez, that you have any confidence in?
Yeah, I think, Woodsy, you could argue at this current moment, it may be the number one question facing this team at this moment. Not that there aren't concerns offensively with Manny out right now. We'll see what the update is on him today, with Xander obviously out for a while. And obviously, look, with the injuries to Darvish and Musgrove, you have concerns there. But on a day-to-day basis, I think the bullpen, the fact that it gets really murky when you get beyond Suarez, Estrada,
he's under taking a swim.
You
sound like you
You're back now. Yeah.
Okay, I'm back. Okay. Just talking about the bullpen. I mean, I think that is, you know, right there among the most pressing concerns for this team. I mean, not on the back end. Suarez has been great. Estrada, for the most part, has been great. You know, look, I know he's had some tougher outings, but he had a pretty good run there where he was really, really effective for a while. But once you get beyond those three, I mean, you know, De Los Santos has been really up and down. Obviously, Kolek's had his struggles. And look, Brito and Kolek are guys that are just sort of, you know, pitching in sort of blowout games right now for the most part, or unless you need a guy like Brito to cover a lot of innings in whatever the game is. And obviously, they had troubles with Yuki Matsui. I thought one of the, you know, small silver linings of this series, win or lose or split or whatever, was the fact that they had some opportunities for Matsui and Kolek to get back out there and find some soft landings, because, guys, you need those guys one way or another, right? I mean, especially in the case of Matsui.
Yeah, we saw a little bit of everything from the San Diego Padres over the weekend as they split four games with the Arizona Diamondbacks, continuing to tread water. At least the five-game losing streak came to an end. Sammy Leavitt was there for all of it. He's going to join us in season Sammy right after a check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan. So actually one of my favorite moments of the weekend. On Saturday, I was hanging out with Shelley and Lucadia, and we were watching the game, and Jake Cronenworth hit his home run, and one of the bartenders said, "Oh, I heard on Sam Leavitt's pregame show, he had a kid who came up to the Metal Supply Company building and said, Jake is going to hit a home run during this game. And he remembered it and he told me and I hadn't heard it. But then I saw Sammy posted it later on social media and he was absolutely correct. And Sam Leavitt joins us right now here on Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan. Can you get that kid to come back and make more predictions, Sam?
Yeah, 11-year-old Red. I've got to get him to come back every night and make a prediction because he's on a hot streak now. But it was a lot of fun. You know, I'm lucky up there inside the Western Metal Building. Obviously, I get a chance to talk to a lot of fans, meet a lot of fans, and I've had kids come up, you know, with their parents over the course of the last few years. And every once in a while, I will ask them if they want to come on air, pull out a headset, and we have a little fun and throw them on for a few seconds. So that was fun. So yes, definitely part of Saturday's win. Part of that is the credit of 11-year-old Rhett with the prediction. Very nice job by him.
I did also hear Sammy go on a long tangent, I believe during one of the post-game shows, and maybe Woods can chime in here, but he started talking about the game which you push the discs down the sandy wooden table and
shuffleboard.
But Sammy said, "No, I grew up playing shuffleboard. It's the game you play
with
on concrete with a stick, and you push like a hockey puck down a long, you know, long runway."
Is the sandy game not called shuffleboard?
Are they both called shuffleboard? Did we ever get any clarity on
Sammy,
that? Sammy,
I think Sammy might be right here.
Yeah, I think from my brief research, they are both called shuffleboard.
Oh, okay.
Now maybe the game that's inside the loft and inside a lot of bars is called hand shuffleboard was my final conclusion. But I grew up, you know, going to some of these hotels in the Catskills in New York with my grandparents, and they would have.
And they please tell me you went to a comedy show.
Sammy, we're watching Chicky Green.
Oh, yes. We would go to the late night comedy show.
Oh my
and,
God, what a nightmare! Yes,
the shuffleboard. So I grew up where that was shuffleboard. So I did not. Admittedly, I don't think I saw the hand shuffleboard game. I think until maybe I was in Texas. Maybe that's the first time I saw it. But I don't. You know, it was like my greatest hits on the pregame show this weekend. I had kids on. I was talking about shuffleboard. You know, anytime I have to try to kill a few minutes, you never know what I might get into. So,
oh, we can relate.
But, yeah, they do have those hand shuffleboard games or tables, I should say, inside the loft at the Western Metal Building. So another activity to enjoy at Petco Park.
I have never met a human being that has been to the Catskills until now. He's my very first person that's been. I just thought it was like a mythical place. I don't even know where it is.
No.
Upstate New York.
It's like a mountain range, right?
Right, right. And they have these, you know, these hotels that people go to. And yeah, I would go with my grandparents and we'd go to the comedy show, we'd have the dinners, they'd have the arcades. We'd have like there'd be like little, you know, like dance parties with bands. Like it was, and they did have the very old school shuffleboard and bocce ball courts, and yeah, I was all over that.
Petey wants to know, did you have a summer fling with a girl named Baby?
Yeah, that's where that took place. Wow, the Catskills. That's where
Tyson
trained there.
I was pretty young back in those days, but I did have a good time. I was shuffleboarding, for sure.
That's phenomenal, phenomenal. Well, Sammy, somebody had made the point earlier, the white-knuckling San Diego Padres. And I don't think, you know, game to game, you didn't have to white-knuckle much on Friday and Saturday. And yesterday, you really didn't have to white-knuckle much. But when it comes to series, you know, every time a new series starts, you just don't know which San Diego Padres team is going to show up, you know. And with the Oakland A's coming into town, you know, look, if you looked on paper, you would say, what are we white knuckling? I'm going to lean back and enjoy a three-game sweep. But
Dylan Cease, we're facing a righty tonight.
Right,
like,
I mean, it's a no-brainer. But a lot of lefty starters coming in, too. Has there been any inkling that the Padres are going to break out of this inability to hit left-handed pitching at all?
I mean, there really hasn't, right? I mean, it's kind of the great mystery. I think that's a question for everybody right now, why it's been so difficult against left-handers, and I don't think there's a great answer for it. Now, maybe part of that solution is the way Fernando's hitting right now. Like, I'll be fascinated over the next few days with how locked in he's been to see if he continues that against left-handers, right? Because he is, I mean, to me right now, in my now two seasons, you know, covering Fernando, because remember, I didn't see him at all in 22 and then, you know, saw him for the first time in this job, when he came back in 23. I mean, to me, he is as locked in certainly as I've seen him, right? And it's shades of 2021 Fernando. So maybe that's part of the solution, having somebody like Fernando rip up lefties. But look, you know, Ha-Sung Kim swung it better. I mean, maybe part of it is just guys swinging the bat better in general, and that'll lead to better results against the left-handers. But, you know, look, the Padres, and it's no secret to anybody, I'm not breaking any news, they are going to have to figure out the lefty thing. I mean, they just have to, because it's been so quiet and because they have right-handed hitters that should do more damage against those guys. So when you talk about the priorities moving forward, there are a lot of them, but I think, you know, breaking whatever's been going on against left-handers, to me, that's right at the top of the list. So, yes, it should be, you know, when they face some lefties here coming up, a fascinating handful of games, because they got to figure it out.
Sammy, when Joe Musgrove and Yu Darvish went on the injured list a little over a week ago, I think my first thought was, uh-oh, now they're going to, I mean, two of the starts now are dicey, and if any of the number one, two, or three guys has a bad start, all of a sudden that's like 60% of your rotation that you can't count on anymore. And improbably, the Padres strung together a series of really good starting pitching performances until yesterday with Adam Mazur. And now I'm wondering, in your opinion, how urgent is it that the Padres go out and maybe try to add a starting pitcher, if there even is one? We talked about Garrett Crochet last week. Is one available on the trade market right now?
I personally don't feel like it's super urgent, if we're assuming that Yu Darvish is going to come back here pretty soon and rejoin this rotation, which, you know, he's been throwing, and it sounds, you know, the whole time with his injuries, it has not sounded like anything overly serious. As long as we're under that assumption, I don't feel that it's so urgent. I mean, look at what the rotation would be with Darvish in it, right? Let's assume Mazur is the guy that's optioned back to AAA. So your rotation is Darvish, Cease, King, Waldron, who's been terrific, and Randy Vasquez, who, look, I think Randy's been really solid these last three opportunities he's had in the major leagues. I talked to him the other day. We'll play the interview before his start on Tuesday, but I think he is really developing, and I'm sort of fascinated with Vasquez as he gets, you know, maybe more consistent opportunities to start at this level, but what he continues to do and what he continues to show. So, you know, look, I think there are a couple of facets when you talk about guys like Garrett Crochet, and if they want to target a starting pitcher, would it hurt them? Absolutely not. To me right now, in you know, early to mid-June, I'd like to see, okay, when Darvish comes back, and he get rolling again? Can Cease, you know, kind of get rolling again? It's been, you know, a lot more up and down for him the last handful of starts. Michael King, for the most part, has been good as of late. You know, he had one kind of rougher start in there, but he's been good. Waldron, my goodness, has been just a terrific story. And I think Vasquez has been pretty good. So, to me, I think for a little bit here, as long as those guys perform well, you can ride with those five for a little bit. I personally don't see the urgency right now in trading a bunch of prospects and further depleting your farm to go get a guy like Crochet, who, you know, has already thrown more innings than he's ever thrown. And,
shocking.
And to me, and I guess this is more just a wider statement on the Padres system and a trade for a guy like Crochet, At this moment, I'm not a huge fan of it. I'd like to see them, after making the cease and arise trades, try to keep some of these guys. And you know, look, it's a team that's sitting a game below 500 today, right? I mean, is there a case for, hey, they've got to show you a little bit more before you go, you know, empty more of the farm and get another arm? But I think when Darvish is back, if you can get, you know, what Vasquez has done the last three starts, I think this starting pitching should really be okay. I do believe that.
Yeah, you know, and if they're not, it's kind of a bummer because, you know, you saw over the weekend in two blowout games, well, actually, let's call it three blowout games, right, over the weekend. None of them were really particularly close. The guys that they used to clean up, you know, the wins and even the loss, not your high-leverage guys. You don't really need those guys. No. So we're seeing Kolek and Matsui get some mop-up opportunities. Problem is, Sammy, is when we've also Kolek's game a week ago really put this team into a tailspin for about a week with Suarez having to be used and all that. We all know the repercussions of it. But, man, it's got to be tough for Schilt to know who he can pick up the phone and call down in the bullpen if tonight's game, for example, is a tight one. I know Robert Suarez hasn't pitched in 8 days, 9 days?
Last Saturday.
Right. So, obviously, he's going to get, you know, the last opportunity. But, man, who do you ring down there in the bullpen right now, other than maybe Jeremiah Estrada and Robert Suarez, that you have any confidence in?
Yeah, I think, Woodsy, you could argue at this current moment, it may be the number one question facing this team at this moment. Not that there aren't concerns offensively with Manny out right now. We'll see what the update is on him today, with Xander obviously out for a while. And obviously, look, with the injuries to Darvish and Musgrove, you have concerns there. But on a day-to-day basis, I think the bullpen, the fact that it gets really murky when you get beyond Suarez, Estrada,
You sound like you took a dip in the pool.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm back. Okay. Just talking about the bullpen. I mean, I think that is, you know, right there among the most pressing concerns for this team. I mean, not on the back end. Suarez has been great. Estrada, for the most part, has been great. I know he said some tougher outings, but he had a pretty good run there where he was really, really effective for a while. But once you get beyond those three, I mean, you know, De Los Santos has been really up and down. Obviously, Kolek's had his struggles. And look, Brito and Kolek are guys that are just sort of, you know, pitching in sort of blowout games right now for the most part, or unless you need a guy like Brito to cover a lot of innings in whatever the game is. And obviously, they had troubles with Yuki Matsui. I thought one of the, you know, small silver linings of this series, win or lose or split or whatever, was the fact that they had some opportunities for Matsui and Kolek to get back out there and find some soft landings, because, guys, you need those guys one way or another, right? I mean, especially in the case of Matsui, it's really important that he sort of finds it again and becomes, you know, more the pitcher we saw at the start of the year, where at least for the most part he was fairly effective. So, you know, look, with that bullpen, with the way bullpens are used now, you just need more than three guys that you can count on. And I think once you get beyond Suarez, Estrada, and Peralta, it's been tricky. And I think De Los Santos is a big part of that. Like, they need some of those guys to get forward in that bullpen and be better than they've been. So I think on a day-to-day basis right now, yeah, you can talk rotation, you can talk offense without Bogarts, without Manny right now, but...
All right, Sammy, we're going to let you get your cell phone a little bit of rest. Hopefully, it'll come back strong after a day off or so, and we'll talk to you again next Monday.
Submarine Sammy.
All right, guys, right, sorry.
We love you, buddy.
That's all right.
My reception in PB.
Yeah, that's all right.
What's going on?
We're just going to blame Adam. Sammy, love Adam it. Needs to get you a better phone.
Yeah.
We'll work on that for next time. And you mentioned Manny Machado. I mean, you heard the comments from Mike Schilt and Manny. I'd be very surprised if he's not DHing today.
Sure.
He sounds like he's been very much on track to return, was very much available to pinch hit yesterday, and even the day before, they said, if they needed him. At this point, it's either get him back in the lineup or get him on the injured list and backdate it for a couple of days and just let him get completely healthy. But I would expect Manny Machado to be back tonight, hopefully in the first game of the series against the Oakland A's.
Submarine Sammy is a good bit.
And did he bring up Morahone? Because Morahone's been pretty solid.
Yes. In his
way in his usage.
In his usage, yeah. There's a seems to be a very specific way that they're using Adrian Morejon right now. I understand not wanting to push the envelope. I do. Hey, you're finally settling into this role. Let's just keep you in this role.
True, but they quickly pushed the usage on Jeremiah Estrada once he started being effective, and he went from...
They didn't have 5 years of data to pull from, I think, with Jeremiah Estrada. You know, there's clearly something in it.
I don't know. You kind of throw the Adrian Morejon data from the last few years out the window a little bit.
Okay.
Different Morejon that we've seen this year.
This year.
Is it time to start expanding his usage? Higher leverage or... Again, I mean, originally the thought was Adrian Morejon was going to be part of the starting rotation for years to come.
Correct.
Is that still going to be a plan, or is that not something you can even think about until an offseason and next year? Because it's always next year with Adrian Morejon. Oh, next year he's going to be that lefty in the Padres rotation that they've been looking for. And he never really did it. And then we finally gave up on him. I mean, literally. I think we both assumed he was being DFA'd and done. And they didn't have any options. Then we found out he had an option left.
Yes.
And they kept him. And now I'm starting to think once again that Adrian Morejon could still be that guy.
Typical baseball thing. He's doing well, and what do you want? I need more. Give me more. 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 I just keep him where he is for now. Keep him where he is. He's doing
but that
great
means
job.
You have to use other guys that you don't count on as much.
Try it.
If you're not using him more.
Try it. What happens if it goes south? Again.
All right, we'll come back. Mark Kotze, manager of the A's, joining us next year on 97.3 The Fan.